Call the March 7th Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Here. Alderman Olson is here.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandria.
I've been promoted.
Here. Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Is here.
Alderman Taylor is excused. Alderman Barber. Are you still here?
The lights are on, so he's here.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak on any matter, please come forward, give us your name and address, and speak your piece.
Jim Crone, 7145 South Carrington Drive. Mayor, Common Council, I'm here tonight speaking on behalf of the Stonehenge neighbors who have been meeting with the Ballpark Commons development team with respect to the apartments on the south side. We listened to the minutes from the February 21st Common Council meeting where Mr. Hertzberg provided an update on the Commons project. During that question period, a member of the council made a statement saying that the Stonehenge neighbors must support the project now because they have been meeting with the developer and are no longer complaining to the Common Council about the project. And we want to let you know that that's not true. The facts are that so far the developers have met with us twice, once back in May of 2016, and then the second meeting was just last week in 2017. And these discussions have been productive and civil, and many neighbors still remain skeptical of what the final result will be due to the number of changes that have happened and the number of long stretches before we hear anything from them. So time goes by quite often where we don't hear for a long time. So, and many times we've actually had to reach out to them to get an update. Nonetheless, we do appreciate the dialogue, and we remain hopeful that the developer will incorporate some of our ideas into the apartments. However, it is incorrect to interpret having meetings with the developer and low turnout at the Common Council meetings as support for the project. As the Common Council and the mayor have been abundantly clear with the meetings and the emails and the calls and the correspondence that we've had with you, that the horse farm is going to be, it has been rezoned and the apartments are going to happen no matter what. So as a result, our neighborhood coalition does not see the point of continuing to protest that decision. Instead, our focus is on mitigating the damages to the neighborhood that will get the result as a part of the rezoning. So we'll continue to have civil and transparent discussions with the developers, and we thank them for having a dialogue, but we want to point out that nothing is final yet, and in any event, if the city desires to gauge our thoughts, they can reach out to us, and we'll provide input.
Let me say to you that I appreciate the responsible and responsive way that you've dealt with the matter. It's a good thing, and I very much appreciate it, and I hope you continue to work with the developer. And I know that we continue to have them work with you, but I'm glad that there's a dialogue going on, and it's civil, and it's above board and respectful, and that's great. So I appreciate that. Thank you. Alderman Mayer.
Thank you for coming tonight and voicing this concern. I was under the impression that the developers are meeting with you regularly, and having been opposed to the apartments initially and voted no for them, we were presented with a plan last night that is really much different and looks a lot better.
Yes.
So I was just wondering if you were aware of that plan and if that is coming along to getting to something that's more palatable.
Yeah, definitely incorporate some of our feedback.
Good.
I'd say some of our major concerns still are the look of the apartments. You saw the flat roofs. How does that fit in with our neighborhood? That's probably one of the main ones. And then the type, luxury, you're starting to hear market value. So what kind of apartment? Those are probably our biggest concerns right now at this point. And then just making sure that there's privacy between our neighborhood and the apartment. So those are the main ones. But, yes, okay. It has gotten – we're continuing to make progress and pleased so far.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
I'm Russ Pleva. I live at 7259 South Cambridge Drive. I am in the original Stonehenge subdivision, not Stonehenge subdivision number 2. We have never been met with. Our neighborhood is not in favor. I'm the former president of that association. We don't meet regularly anymore. But in general, there are some support in the neighborhood. I have the plan that was submitted 1 year to the day to this Common Council, and I have notes all over it. And the revised plan that I see, I'm asking, where's the math? Where's the hurry? And is staff adequately reviewing this? Mr. Morrow's predecessor, Mr. Bennett, was overly concerned when Stonehenge was originally built. There was only one access point off of Wolfville Road from fire and for police. We are going to add 3% to the city population in an area designated for 26 homes, 1,000 people potentially, if you say 300 is what's built, two people and one kid. And you're going to have one access point off of Rawson with the elimination of Loomis Road. That is just beyond silly. If 15 years ago, having 75 families was an issue, adding another 300 with the same issue staring it. And I know it is an issue with the DOT. I think very similar to my friend here about the comments, we support the city has made a decision, but we would like to see certain things addressed. I think the DOT needs to be revisited where an access point from Highway 36 direct into this development that has to be done. If you think that somewhere along the line Rawson gets blocked, how are you going to access 1,000 residents just on that development alone, irregardless of who's in Stonehenge? The other one, too, as I heard, with 90 days to go, he wants to put a shovel in the ground, and he's talking about a developer agreement. And I was shocked that hasn't been done. And one of the things I pointed out to this committee once before, to the Common Council, it is very unusual. It's 42% of the TIFs in the state include mixed-use development. If you do the sheer math on the revised plans to the alderman's point, it doesn't qualify under the Department of Revenue. Just on simple math, if you have 6 out of 16 buildings as residential, which is qualified as apartments, it doesn't qualify for TIF financing. And when the city goes to do the developer agreement, there should be a guarantee of value. One of the comments made last night was one of the buildings might not be done. Is it a coincidence that some buildings are listed in here that may never be built? Because it would qualify for a TIF, but the city of Franklin is on the hook if that TIF can't meet its obligations. So I would just ask, I have not seen any financial projections. I would like to see in some report to the citizens what this does to your tax bill. For people's reference, it is very unusual to put city funds for this kind of apartment building development, and that's my focus here, with school-age kids, services to the city, fire and police, and no way to pay for it unless there's pilot plans. So I would ask the city attorney to come up with an estimated pilot payment that would cover whatever the tax obligation is. So the city of Franklin, residents like myself, I did the math just on school-age kids alone based on industry data. It's going to cost me $1,000 for the, assuming this is not a blighted TIF, it's a 20-year horizon, $1,000 to have the rock next to me. And I think if people saw that under Senate Bill 52 on their tax bill, that there was a specific line item, you had to pay an extra $300 or $200 for 20 years, they might have a different opinion on development. This is intended for the 70-30. And I know they raised the cap on TIFs, but I'm also concerned that we're using our gunpowder instead of spending it on extending the industrial parks on Ryan Road. I also would like to hear, in the plan that all the traffic to this development will be coming from 76th Street. I'm a big fan of having to get on Wolfville Road and turn left every day. The traffic that you would add with 300 families, potentially 4,000 in a sold-out game, to a two-lane highway. Not everybody's going to come from 76th Street. And I don't know, I've not heard any plans to widen Rawson prior to the development west of Highway 100, because likely you're going to have half the people coming from that direction. I would like to see something addressed about that. Long term, I don't want to wait until it's a problem. When we had that event that was the mutter, there was some concern about the environmental damage, but people parked all the way down Old Loomis Road for that event. There was fire and police out there directing traffic, but I think you have to address the traffic problem that's going to be occurring. And again, I think that should be done before the project starts. And then also limits on the time for if there's games or concerts during the week. I can hear the concerts in my house. I'm tucked in kind of far away in the Stonehenge subdivision. You can hear the concerts at night. They are less. It has improved from when they originally done. But if you're having a 4,000-person concert, is there limits past, you know, I don't want that on a Tuesday night during the summer when I got to go to work the next day. So I would just ask, as you move forward, there is a rush to get this project going, to get the shovel in the ground, but please try and address some of these, because once they get committed with the sewers and that, you won't be able to undo it, especially, emphatically, look strongly at a DOT Highway 36 access to that. Otherwise, I think it's going to be, the only option is to have all those people come through a very narrow road that wasn't designed for that. So I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Pleva. I'll just let you know that those issues that you just brought up, that there's some inaccuracies, but the general issues that you brought up are part of our continuing planning and part of the development. So we're looking at DOT, access points, that kind of thing. It's all part of the deal.
Anne Devine, 9020 West Hawthorne Lane. I live in the subdivision called Old Forest. If you don't know where that is, it's on the same side of Rawson as the Rock. And, in fact, after seeing the plans last night, the parking lots of this new development is going to immediately abut houses in our subdivision. And no one in our subdivision has had meetings with a developer. No one has contacted any of us, put any flyers in our mailbox, bothered to call us, nothing. And I sure hope you're talking, Mayor Olson, about getting all those reviewed within the next 90 days. Because if there's shovel in the ground, you can't go back and just do DOT stuff or take care of contaminated property. Now, that parking lot is going right on top of contaminated property. Have any of you read Ron Gintz's report? I know it was thick. I know it was technical, but did you all read it? It very much. Nobody's read it?
I raised my hand.
You're the only one in the Common Council.
Ma'am, I read it too.
No, we all read it. Please go
and
ahead, Ann.
What are you doing about it? This is factual stuff. When I was at the February 21st meeting and Hertzberg was talking, he had said that there's no application submitted to the DNR, no application submitted to the county, no application submitted to the DOT. How can you put shovel in the ground in 90 days when these applications haven't even been submitted? I mean, you're talking about a methane area that has flames coming out of it, and nobody has addressed this. DNR has not been applied to, and how can you put shovels in the ground and start paving over this stuff and put our neighborhood in danger? The other thing is that there has been no honesty with any of the Franklin residents as to the taxes that this is going to cause. I know at one meeting prior, it was brought up by Wilhelm that no tax money has been spent so far on this rock, and that's not true. There's been at least $75,000 spent by the city to work with developers on the rock, and that was a year ago. So who knows how much money, because there's no transparency here at all. This is like a secret thing going on, and all of a sudden we come to these meetings and shovels in the ground in 90 days. And then we hear from Hertzberg about meeting with us, which is an absolute lie, and also that nothing's been submitted, which means the DNR has not even reviewed this. I think this is inept leadership, and I think you all need to do some soul searching.
Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak?
I didn't come to speak on what these other people have been talking about, but...
Can we have your name and address, please? For
oh, that? I'm sorry. Judy Mills, 8018 West Winston Way, Franklin. The fact that people have to appear in front of you when you have planning commissions and all these other commissions that should be taking care of all this, and you have a man here telling you that there's one exit to a subdivision that's being developed, and he's telling you things that the planning commission should have taken care of. You have a woman here that's telling you that they're going to put shovels in the ground and blah, 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 everything she just said. And the fact that this is even going ahead before citizens in Franklin who live here, who you represent, I mean, do you represent them or do you represent the developers and the business people and whatnot, and are you just screwing the people in Franklin all the time who don't know anything that's going on, whose homes are going to go down in value, et cetera? I mean, I the frustration of the people in this city sometimes is so high. I come to these meetings and you hear people giving you information about what's going on where you should be giving the people of Franklin information. Now, I'm here to talk about number one. And
before you get started, I recall the last time you appeared here.
Yes.
We treat everyone in this room and applicants with respect, okay?
As a citizen of Franklin for 30 years...
I'm telling you, we treat everyone with respect.
I would like to be treated with respect by my city government. I would like to be given information by my city government instead of, as the other lady mentioned, where everything seems to be done in secret all the time. When the mayor chooses a person for a committee or a board, that person should be qualified for that position, independent, with no conflicts of interest. Andrew Ruffing is the project manager for Moosen Brothers, an excavating company and customer of the quarry. Moosen also hires outside contractors who may be customers of the quarry. His loyalties will be to his employer and his paycheck. There is a mega conflict of interest here in the fact that you want to appoint him to the quarry committee, which just boggles my mind because he's going to be, he might be very knowledgeable about quarries, but the fact that he does business with the quarry is a definite conflict of interest. And that brings me to my next thought. The city of Milwaukee and other communities have ethics committees to investigate complaints against committee and board members who are personally benefiting from their positions, pushing their own agenda, helping relatives and friends through their city positions, etc. Franklin doesn't have standards. We need them. We need to establish ethics codes for the city. And I urge you, Mayor Olson, and the Common Council to advance an ethics code for the city of Franklin so that we're in par with the rest of the communities in this area. And lastly, I suggest that the mayor advertise openings on committees and boards other than the 4th of July Commission so that talented Franklin residents who have skills the city could desperately use would know about vacancies and could donate their time and expertise to the city. Mayor Olson, you're wasting Franklin's most valuable resource, its people, with all their knowledge and gifts they have to contribute to the city. And I think many people would want to sit on these committees if they knew there were openings, but no one knows there's an opening on a committee. You never hear about it. You never read about it. When you put out your newsletter, nothing is ever mentioned about these committees except the 4th of July committee. And I think people would like to know about that. And if they have a skill for that committee, be able to contact you and say, yes, I'd like you to consider me for that committee. And I think these are things to consider so that you wouldn't have people up here all the time, you know, frustrated with what's going on in the city. Amen.
For your information, the volunteer positions for boards and commissions are continually on the website, on the homepage of the website, with a link directly to the application.
But you advertise the 4th of July, but people don't necessarily think about going and looking for positions, but if they saw it in a newsletter and said, hey, we're looking for somebody for this commission or that commission, you might find a lot of people who would say, well, I have expertise in that. Maybe I'll think about it. But when the only commission you ever see advertised is the 4th of July, probably very nice commission. They do a wonderful job. But given the overall realm of things, the least important commission we have in the city. And you hear these people talking about the fact that, I mean, when the gentleman over there has to come there and give me step by step by step and ask for tax information. They want to know what the tax impact is going to be on something like. And the school teacher, I can tell you, you put up apartment buildings and
ma'am,
on school taxes is unbelievable.
If you want to continue to address us, please use the microphone for the benefit of those who are elite. But I was going to continue to answer your question relative to advertising. The openings for boards and commissions also appears in a newsletter periodically, usually twice a year, in addition to the website, which is darn near continuous. And I encourage anybody who has an interest in a committee to please apply. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Okay.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Seeing none, I will close the citizen comment period. Move on to item B2, a proclamation for... Sure you guys don't want to stick around and hear what's going on? Okay, we have a 19-year employee who has retired as assistant city engineer, Ron Romeis. Ron, come on up. We'll redo the proclamation. And Alderman Wilhelm has volunteered.
That's not how you say your name.
Alderman Wilhelm was just volunteered by the mayor.
For those of you, we had a party for Ron. I read the proclamation for Ron at the party. Alderman Wilhelm is the co-sponsor of this, and I'm going to give her the honor of doing it. You got it?
I got it. Whereas Ron Romeis began his public service at the City of Franklin on March 23rd, 1998. And whereas up until that time, Ron, AKA RR, equals Ron's clear, spent the prior 17 plus years working as a director of public works in Wilmington Public Corners, his and his family's long time the current home of town, where he has also served as a deputy village clerk and the village safety coordinator, among other public service roles. Whereas prior to his work with the Village, following his graduation from Marquette University with a Bachelor of Science Civil Engineering degree in 1972, during which college years he was employed by the City of West Dallas, Ron spent some 8 years furthering his engineering knowledge and skills at private engineering companies and also at the City of Jamestown, Wisconsin, initially as the staff engineer and then as the Assistant Director of Public Service. And perhaps most notably, at the City of Adams, Wisconsin, as and whereas Ron, through all of his years of his professional engineering, was an in-state people person who cared and cares about all people, every project and every process, whether working for the government or working for a solution, always had a person's first name or person's first name's attached to every project, every process, everything. Ron is a people person, dividing people for the people. And whereas Ron, is a religious man, Ron is an alien man. Ron is an honest man. Ron is a working man who
And when Ron is not attending church, and church and family is working, accustomed to not only working long days, but also working through those long days with the public meetings, and or next morning hearing preparations, long nights, year after year, year after year after year. Whereas Ron J. Romeis, he Ron's career, decided to retire from the City of Franklin with his last birthday being March 1st, 2017, after some 4.5 decades. More time for family, more time for cheering, by an alternate at Marquette University basketball and University of Wisconsin,
football fanatic. Go MU, go Badgers. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that I, Stephen R. Olson, the mayor, and I, Kristen Wilhelm, the council president of the city of Franklin, on behalf of all the citizens of Franklin and the staff of the city government, wish you good luck and may God speed.
Thanks, Ron.
Ron?
Yes, sir.
This is yours.
Did you want those back? He told me.
Items. Hey, Ron. Don't be a stranger. You know where we are.
Item C, approval of the regular common council meeting minutes of February 21st. Any additions or corrections?
I move to accept the minutes.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Do we have no hearings? Move on to organizational business. Item E1, I'm going to hold for another meeting and do some more work on that one. Move on to item 2, Lori O'Neill. Board of Health, Alderman Dandria.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, that handle, we can do them all at one time. But so let's do, in addition to that, Sean Moravka to the Tourism Commission.
Move to approve or something?
Yeah, move to approve.
Second.
The team. All those in favor of those two appointments signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Actually, we've got to do a roll call.
Alderman Dandria.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Motion carries. 5 ayes, no noes, no one absent, no abstentions. We move on reports and recommendations. Item G1.
Move to accept.
This would be a donation to the
Second.
Police department. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G2 is a direction for staff for Zilver Limited.